Hey, good morning. This is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver. Excuse me, and thank you for joining me on this episode of the Make Another Mogul radio show where the dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. So I just wanted to enter into this space just for a moment because I wanted to share a testimony with you. And I plan to make this as brief as possible. And I want to try and contain what I'm stating is because a lot of times people take a little bit of information and misconstrue it, turn it into their own testimony and all type of stuff. Everything happens but deliverance when people fake testimonies, right? I honestly used to believe, because of the power of the testimony, now I used to believe this, that because of the power of the testimony, that somebody else could tell your testimony and deliverance will still go forth because of how the Bible establishes, excuse me, that deliverance must take place when the word of the testimony goes forth. Recently, as I've been studying on delivery of specific topics so that when the Lord opens up the opportunities again for me to be able to minister, that I have postured myself in the way that I teach on specific subjects, that it would not be as heavy, right? Because there are subjects that need to be taught in the earth, but sometimes, and I say this all the time, not everybody can facilitate or teach, period. Teaching and facilitating is absolutely a ministry. It is a ministry because you have to be able to see the world and see the information from the perspective of the student, right? If you don't have the ability to see the information from the perspective of the student, you may be very well standing in front of an audience and teaching from a perspective that is higher than their understanding, right? So the purpose of a facilitator or a teacher who is really anointed and gifted to disseminate information is they teach a subject not from a top-down perspective, but from a down-up perspective. So you literally have to meet the student where they are, and then you have to bring their understanding up to the level from which you're teaching from. So I'm about to try not to get emotional because teaching is a passion for me, right? Like, it's a passion for me. I don't know that I don't know that I could do it full time, but it's absolutely a passion of mine because it was good facilitators or excellent facilitators that shifted the trajectory of my life. Right? Because they thought it not robbery to set time aside to ensure that I was able to get the material. And they met me at the place where I was, non-judgmental, not from a perspective of you need to get to where I am. I got the information. You need what I need. You need what I have. You know, it was never the facilitators that I've had in my life that have changed my life and changed the trajectory of how I see myself in relation to others always operated in compassion. And they always operated from the perspective of being able to deliver or disseminate the information from where my level of understanding was, right? I don't believe you can effectively teach people information if you cannot meet them where they are. I was standing in my classroom at Wilberforce. When was this? Was it Tuesday or Thursday of last week? And I promise you, while I'm teaching to them, I literally feel the spirit of heaviness lift up out of the room. Like, I feel like the students that I had been teaching to up until that time, like their minds have been oppressed, right? And I seen the spirit of oppression lift up out of the room. It was an unusual in all type experience. It almost felt like I was in a sanctuary, I'm telling you. And I could see my students get delivered from oppression, right? We weren't in a church, right? I'm in a classroom. And I'm watching them transform right in front of me, right? And that is what's supposed to happen between facilitator and student. And so I'm saying all of that, right, to say that I've been working on my method of delivery and how to deliver certain topics. Now, I have my secular topics. Like, I have the delivery of that. I think I've perfected that. Something I haven't perfected is how to properly deliver some of the material on spiritual matters in a secular environment without it sounding spiritual in nature, right? Because I believe a good facilitator has the ability to deliver information regardless of the environment, right? I should be able to teach information or disseminate information that brings deliverance, whether I'm on a church platform, an educational platform, or a corporate platform, right? I believe that that is my purpose in the earth, is to disseminate information. And so every tool that the Lord has ever allowed me to prosper in has been because of my ability to be able to disseminate information in ways that brings deliverance to people in that environment, right? Which is why you have to be careful as a facilitator with the spirit of offense, right? And I don't have time for that. I'm not about to talk about that. Let's get to my testimony. So today I made a post on Facebook and I talked about, so the Lord has been dealing with me about the spirit of containment. And thus far, there have been some people that have entered into my life that are totally different from the people that were in my life previously, right? So the people that were in my life previously would not allow me to mature beyond who I used to be. And here's even the thing about the person I used to be, right? Is they created a narrative that would, a narrative about the person that I was that made them feel like the superior person, right? So they would take things I said and take things, interactions that I did, and they would manipulate them, right? They would make them be something that they weren't. And I'm gonna give this as an example. There was a time period where me and my ex-husband stopped dating. But I still had friendships with people that were in his family, right? Because some of his family members and I, we actually worked in the same industry. In fact, I don't want to say it because then I had to. So we actually worked in the same industry, right? And I told you previously that my family had owned a chain of salons. And if any of you know the power of prayer, I just want you to send healing towards my family. I want you to send healing towards my family. I want you to send healing towards my family. For those of you that know the power of prayer and operate in deliverance ministry. I was having a conversation with my cousin the other day, and I was just telling her, I was like, something ain't right, right? And I won't get into that. That's another conversation. Anyhow, please send your prayers of healing towards my family. For those of you that really operate in deliverance and prayer. And so I attended an event that I was invited to by someone that I worked with during a season that my husband and I were not dating. I didn't know who was going to be there. If anybody knows me, I'm the type of person, I just show up for people, right? I show up for people I care about because it's important to me for people to show up for me. If I have the time, if I have the ability to show up, I'll be there. Like, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I will be there. Now, there have been some seasons in my life where I wanted to be there for people, but I hope that you know that the enemy is very strategic about absorbing your time, right? So now when I pray differently about where I invest my time, because the enemy is very strategic about trying to absorb your time so that you can miss out on time with people that have opportunities for you or time with people that you care about. Okay. So now when I pray, I say, Lord, remove every hinderer of my vested time. Strategize against those who strategize against my valuable time, right? And if you've never prayed that prayer, I'm telling you, pray about the time, where you use your time, where you invest your time, and who you spend time with and when. There are people who have been strategizing against my time for years. And it has been offensive to people that I cared about because they thought I didn't show up for them when there was something that was absorbing my time intentionally to keep me from spending time where I should have been investing my time in people. And that's who I am, right? Investing my time is important to me with people that I care about. And so I'm very strategic where I pray about my time. And so the Lord has been, for the past 10 years of my life, plucking people up out of my environment and out of my life who waste my time. And that is probably one of the most powerful weapons that I've seen the Lord utilize, is destroying people or destroying the vice of people in my life who tried to waste my time. Okay? And so that's why the Lord says, that's why. And it wasn't until recently that I really, I said I was going to make this short, that I really understood what the Lord meant when he said that he'll redeem your time. That means something more tremendous than we can ever understand, right? And so I went to this event because I wanted to show up for the person. I already knew I probably wasn't going to stay there long, just because of the different circles that me and this person run in, right? Somebody knew that I was going to be there. And they ended up being there. They knew I was going to be there. They ended up being there. It was planned for them to be there. And I went, and at that point, I had to make a decision when they were already there, whether I was going to be offended by it, how I was going to respond to it, things of that nature. But it was obviously planned. And so I spent time there for the moment. I showed my support of the individual and I left, right? Fast forward 10 years later, right? This person pretended as if I showed up at this event to somehow be intentionally disrespectful towards them. And the narrative that they created was that I showed up there to be intentionally disrespectful towards them. Now, this is a season that me and my ex-husband was off. And when I say off, I'm talking about OFF. Like, I never had any intention of being re-involved, right, in an intimate relationship. And though we were still friends, I was no longer entertaining. I'm trying to think, well, I might have even been, was I living with somebody? Like, we really had moved on, right? And so, but 10 years later, I realized that this person had created this narrative in the mind of the public that I had showed up there in that moment to be intentionally disrespectful towards them. And that's what I mean by how the enemy will plot and strategize against your time, right? And how the enemy understands, the enemy studies you a lot, right? And want and understands where you're motivated, right? For me, where I spend my time, that is a motivation for me. It's important for me to show up for people, right? So either the enemy tries to block me from showing up for the people that I care about, or they try to intercept the time and the events of what occurs while I'm investing my time in people that I want to show up for. Right. So you have to be mindful of where you spend your time and the people that you trust about where you can invest your time. Right. Now, here is an example that I'm about to offer you, is that I don't waste moments with people. I always see moments with people as an opportunity. And that can be different things, right? I always see moments with people as an opportunity to bridge a relationship with people, right? And sometimes it's, and to establish, right, trust, right, with different people, right? I recently did business with an organization, and the Lord had been poking and prodding me to go back and have a conversation, right? And I didn't even know what I was going to go back and have a conversation about. And then an opportunity presented itself through some of the work that I do through the foundation about what the conversation was about. Now, in the meantime, while I hear what the Lord is saying, but the timing hasn't, the Lord hasn't poked or prodded me about the time, right, to go back and interact with these people, right? So, and I'm not saying these people like in a derogatory way. I'm just saying I don't really know them yet, but the Lord is poking and prodding me to develop a better understanding or to develop some sort of bridge between me and them. And I don't know what that opportunity looks like. And then once the Lord brings it to my understanding of how to do it, I haven't cultivated the when it should happen, right? In the meantime, I meet another individual, right? And this individual tells a lie about these other people, right? Don't really have the ability to get into the particulars of it, but it was a pretty damaging lie, right? Something that would prevent me from pursuing any type of relationship with them. And in fact, and then at the time I did not know that it was a lie, right? But it was a pretty serious lie. And so because how I had to approach the lie, what I had in mind or what the Lord had in mind, because I wouldn't have never pursued it any other way, what the Lord had in mind, that was no longer an option. Because now I got to deal with the lie, right? So once I find out it's a lie, the Lord brings to my remembrance and tells me about how the spirit of containment operates and how to be able to identify those that operate in under the influence of the powers of darkness and how they strategically try to enter in spaces where you are to influence who you build relationships and bridge gaps with, right? And what I want to say to you today is that it is important about who you allow into your personal space, and it is important who you share your time with. Because time spent with the wrong person and in the wrong space has the ability to affect the influence that you are supposed to have in the earth. And the enemy wants to destroy where you should have positive influence, right? Now, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But you cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. It is so important for people who are anointed for a specific purpose in the earth to have the proper covering. This is what this entire conversation is about. It is so important for people who are anointed for a specific purpose. When people say that you cannot do things alone, people think that that's about collaborative partnerships and doing business. When the Lord says that you can't do things alone, what the Lord is saying is that you need to have the proper covering. You need to have the right pastor. You need to be in an environment of the right counsel, right? A counsel of wisdom, so that the Lord can hide you from the secret counsel of the wicked. There is wisdom in a multitude of counsel, right? But godly counsel. Those that have the same motivations to do good and not evil, right? It is so important for you to sit up under the right leadership. And the reason it is important for you to sit up under the right leadership, pastoral wise, and this is the last conversation that I'm going to publicly have about my pastor, but the Lord had placed it on me as a burden, right? I think it is important to us that when people shift the trajectory of your life, that you have to be able to publicly acknowledge it. Otherwise, you take the credit for God's glory when you don't acknowledge the people that are anointed to be in your space, right? The reason that you are where you are right now is because there were people that entered into your life and rebuked the darkness. There are people who entered into your life and rebuked mediocrity. There are people that entered into your life and rebuked poverty. It is important for believers to acknowledge the people that have entered into their lives and rebuked lies. The multitude of counsel that is starting to embrace and put a circumference around me of protection is fighting the devil on a different playing field. I don't even have the ability to articulate the sharpness of the swords that they've been pulling. And I always thought that the way that I exegesis the word had a uniqueness to it, to destroy the yoke and to bury the lies of Satan. But for the first time in my life in a long time, people are entering into my life and placing a safe space around myself and around my son by dealing with the lies of the enemy. They are anointed to do what they're doing. And it's beyond my articulation. All I know is that it is a greater anointing, and level of elevation that I've seen in a long time. It is so important for you to understand a lot of the warfare that may be taking place in your life is because you are sitting up under the wrong leadership. And this is not popular, right? This is not popular because then it puts pastors on the defense. But maybe some pastors are pastoring people they should be sitting up under somebody else, right? So the purpose of this message is not because I'm trying to sow discord into the body of Christ. The purpose of this is for accountability. One, for people to stop faking their testimonies. I told you I used to think that because of the power of the Holy Spirit that rested on the testimony, I used to think that people could use somebody else's testimony and it was still bearing deliverance. But what happens when somebody uses a testimony that's not theirs, while the sensationalism is there, the deliverance doesn't occur, right? So it's like putting a Band-Aid on a laceration, right? You put a Band-Aid on a cut, you get stitches for lacerations, right? And when people deliver a testimony that doesn't belong to them, that typically means because they're trying to operate in an anointing that they don't have. And when you try to operate in an anointing that doesn't rest on your life, you're taking a Band-Aid and you're trying to cover a laceration that the great physician has not trained you to properly repair, right? And to heal. And that's why it's important for us to be honest about who we are and about our real experiences, because the Bible says that that's when deliverance takes place, right? And it is impossible for you to be sitting under a pastor that is anointed for the devils in your life and you not experience deliverance. If you are going through warfare and you feel like potentially that the battle is too heavy and that the battle just seems excruciating, that may be an indication that the season in which your life is in has outgrown the anointing that is on the angel of the house where you sit. The reason that they refer to them as angels is because of the anointing that's on their life and their ability to destroy the yoke and their ability to bring deliverance. No responsible spiritual father wants to see any spiritual child going through hell that is anointed, called, righteous, and operates under godly instruction, right? There are pastors out there now that operate from a spiritual place of darkness. Those are the people that's always prophesying, you about to go through a season of this, a season of that, right? And though that has its place, right? Because the prophet does bring judgment, but the prophet does not bring judgment on the righteous, right? And so it's always not set right for me when I've seen pastors prophesy seasons that were never supposed to take place in the life of the believer because they felt some sort of insecurity or jealousy towards that individual. And so they wanted to fabricate a season of struggle on that person's life. That's not of God. That's the power of darkness if I ain't never seen one. Make sure you are sitting up under somebody that is led by the Holy Spirit and not led of the powers of darkness. There's a thin line of demarcation, right? Darkness has power. Just like the Holy Spirit and those that walk under the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit, the good news is that all power belongs to Christ, right? And so people that sit under the unction and the power and the training and the ability of the Holy Spirit have the ability to rebuke the powers of darkness. And if you are in a season of dealing with dark forces and nobody has spoken to the end of that season, I'm telling you that you are in the wrong place. If you are, and here's the thing is that you have the ability to bring your own deliverance into your own life, right? That's why the Bible says, prophesy, man of God, right? Prophesy of your own household, right? Speak to the dry bones. You are the prophet of your own life and of your own household. But you should not be sitting up under somebody that while you're working through deliverance, they working against you, right? There ought to be an angel that comes in agreement with what you're hearing in your private time. And I said, this is it. I'm not about to say nothing else about my pastor, but it's a burden that's been placed on me because people have been enduring seasons of their life that was only supposed to take a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and you've been enduring it for years because you have not been in the right place up under the right anointing and up under the right angel. And you can be in a region where all of the angels are operating under the powers of darkness. That can be real, right? That can be a real thing. And that is why people, and I'm trying to, the best example I can offer, a tangible example outside of the Bible, because sometimes people feel like Bible is this fictional story of parables, right? A book that somebody wrote and so those things don't happen in real time. Well, if you listen to Cheryl, where's her name? Pastor Cheryl, I think her name is Cheryl Brady. She's a female, she's a Caucasian female preacher, and she packed up and moved specifically to sit under the teaching of T.D. Jakes, right? She's not the only one either. If you listen to, it's another female preacher. She's also a Caucasian woman. And so my purpose in me saying that Cheryl Brady is a Caucasian woman is because we put a lot of emphasis on race that necessarily the Lord is not, So the Black church does have its influence, right? And does exegete the word differently from a perspective of the Black experience, right? And right now, everybody wants access to that. Everybody wants access to that. That's a different topic. Anyhow, I'm trying to think of this other woman. Paula White is another one. Pastor Paula White, who has a predominantly African American congregation, just like Pastor Cheryl Brady. She moved to sit up under Pastor T.D. Jakes. That's her testimony. I'm not about to get into it. But it's a public testimony and people know about it. That is why people are willing to pick up and move, because sometimes it is what is in operation in specific places, and the way that it is important, even if it means that you have to pack up and leave that space, for you to get into a space and a place where the covering fits the anointing that rests on your life. And so the Lord is, it is important. So the Bible says that I died not only that you should have life, but have it more abundantly. It is important, the type of life that you live on a day-to-day basis, right? In peace and prospering and wealthy, in health and in wealth, right? You need to get to a space where the covering exists for the anointing that's on your life. However that looks, however the Lord gives you instruction to do that, whatever that is. For some people, that's packing up and moving. For some people, it's in different ways. And I'm not going to provide those examples because I don't want people to be unctioned to do something specifically I said because of somebody else's testimony. But when it comes to the covering, it is important for you to understand what that looks like, right? And so people, people have tried to make up things about me because I was willing to follow the unction of how the Holy Spirit was leading me to be mentored by people that necessarily I shouldn't have had access to, right? And people have made up all kinds of stories about that. In fact, people have attached themselves to that journey in ways that have nothing to do with the movement of God, right? That's between them and the Lord. All I'm supposed to do is what I did, and that was to follow the unction of the Lord for the anointing that was on the person until the anointing lifted, or until the moment and the season for me to be in their space ended, right? Sometimes seasons end before they're supposed to end because people try to intercept the relationship, right? And that's okay, because whatever the enemy tries to dissolve in your life, the Lord raises a standard and sends somebody else, right? And who the Lord sends to replace what the enemy thought they were dissolving is always far greater. And I don't say that in a sense of so you just turn your back on people. No, like I told you, the song, one of my most favorite songs is "Make New Friends, Keep the Old. One is silver while the others go." Like I learned that in elementary school. That's my favorite song because relationships are important to me, right? And so. But the Lord is not going to allow anybody to disrupt the seasons in your life. I said I was going to keep this short. But this thing is heavy on me today. Do you hear what I'm saying? Heavy on me. The Lord will never allow anybody to disrupt the seasons in your life. So the Lord will send whomever, wherever, however, or send you wherever, however, to get you to a place where you are delivered, set free, prospering, and living a peaceful life that brings longevity of life, health, strength, and prosperity. There is nothing the Lord will do to get you to that space. And I'm saying plucking people up out of environments or out of the earth. I've seen it with my own eyes. The Lord is not going to allow evil to continue to pursue the blessing and the anointing on your life. And I've seen it since I was a little girl. It is my testimony. It is what rests on my household. And it is why people try to sow a spirit of dissension between myself and my ex, because they thought that they could intercept. Well, I'm not even gonna, I won't get into that. I made a post on my Facebook page and just in case you're not on my Facebook page, I'm gonna read through the post that I made, and then I'm going to let you all get to back to your lives and get to church. Give me one moment. All righty. So here is the post. I'm telling you, it's heavy on me today. I'm tired of seeing God's people living in bondage and oppressed because the enemy has no power. The only power that the enemy has been convincing you that they have power. They have no power. God is not in competition with the devil. Okay? One finger and it's over. All right? And not in a good way for the enemy. If you have ever done any of the following, so I'm talking to people who operate in the spirit of darkness. If you try to break up a couple that is legally married, have participated in spreading lies and rumors about a person, have tried to block a person from prospering, have choreographed harassment against a person, have stolen from a person, stalked a person, tried to ruin a person's reputation, tried to block someone from dating a person of the opposite sex, tried to intentionally embarrass someone, tried to disrupt a person's influence in the earth, have operated judgment against a person as the hand of God, which is idolatry, the thing that God hates most. The list goes on. You are being controlled by the forces of darkness. Here's what the Bible says about you if you continue to participate in evil activities. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut off down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This is not a one pick scripture. You know how people pick a scripture and then they build an entire narrative around it. That is not this instance. Cutting off and plucking up evil from the earth is seen many times in the scripture. The Lord plucks up and cuts off people, organizations, and regions. Repent and find a church that does deliverance ministry. How do you know that you're anointed? You've dealt with strategic evil activity against you. And yes, it can be from church people or non-church people. Hear me. When you sit under the godly and appointed, anointing covers anointed people. When you sit under the right anointing, the attacks should stop. That's why they call the pastor the angel of the house, because they don't have to have a conversation with you. The anointing on their life destroys the yoke. My pastor preached a few weeks ago to the congregation and said, any person who has done evil against you is about to experience the judgment of God. There is no way in hell you should be sitting under leaders and they tell you it's your season for calamity. An angel intercepts calamity from the life of the righteous. The Lord has put a burden on me to share this because many are called, few are chosen. Find the angel that is chosen to lead your household. It's worth packing up and moving if you have to, because the Lord is concerned about the level at which you live your life daily. I don't play with souls. This is a very serious radio production today. My name is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver. You should be following me on Facebook if you're not. I'm going to put a link for the comedy festival that we have coming up. It is a comedy and rap fast festival. Of course, it's Christian rap, Christian comedy festival. It is in Houston, Texas. I am excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm hoping that you all will participate. While we're in the process of putting together what the bag is, so to speak. In the meantime, I'm looking forward to seeing you all at the festival. I'll talk with you soon. God bless. Oh, if you have not ordered your the first volume of Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter, I pray that you do order the literary work. I've received some amazing reviews on it. And I think you need to have the volume one to have an understanding of the direction that volume two, to understand the unpacking of and revelation of the new material in volume two. All right. I'll talk with you soon. God be pleased. God be praised. And lift up the Lord in his holy name. Shalom.